Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Here we go, y'all.
Rejoice and be glad in it, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, and God bless you, my brothers and sisters. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, May 29th, 2022. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook. I am blessed to be the founder of Spirit Alive. And as always, I am joined by my phenomenal, hallelujah, Holy Ghost filled. Thank you, Jesus. Kingdom family, in the persons of Mother Shirley Mitchell, Minister Tina Brown, our anointed speaker of the hour, Bishop Lester Carver, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Evangelist Michelle Scott. So on behalf of all of us, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. Now, won't you bow your hearts with me as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer? Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come now before your throne of grace, just ready to praise you in spirit and in truth. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come out and praise you and worship you together. Lord, we pray, hallelujah, for our listeners this morning. We pray that on today that they would hear a word from you that would encourage them to live a more abundant life in you right now. And Father, we just come praying, Lord, that if somebody doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, that today would be the day that they would make you their Lord and their Savior. Father, yes. I pray that you bless every one of the anointed servant leaders that are here faithfully to serve you on their post. Bless us indeed, O God, with your presence, and we will be so careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' holy and righteous name we do pray it all. Let the church of God please say hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Say bless, say bless, say
bless.
Yeah!
Alive.
Now time for this morning's meditational reading, and each and every Sunday morning, we are blessed to have Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell come and read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please retrieve your Bibles, amen, and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I love each and every one of you. The meditational reading is entitled Total and Complete Forgiveness, coming from Ephesians 1, verse 7, which reads, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Now, people have said, Pastor Prince says, to him, that they say, "I was taught that only my past sins from the day I was born until the day I became a Christian have been forgiven, but that my future sins are not forgiven until I confess them and seek forgiveness." Friends, when Jesus died on the cross, how many of your sins were future? Unless you are more than 2,000 years old, all your sins were future then. Jesus took them all upon himself, nailed them to the cross, and declared, "It is finished." You can read about that in John 19, verse 30. So if you are not forgiven of all, then you are not forgiven at all. You mean Jesus also died for the sins that I have just committed? Yes. And also for the sins which I will commit? Yes. That is why he said it. Many of us are inconsistent in our believing. One part of us says, "God has forgiven me of all my sins." But another part says, "Yes, but I must still confess my sins to be forgiven of them. Are you like that? Beloved, you are forgiven not because of your work of confession. Your confession cannot wash away your sins. You are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus shed for you. His blood alone cleanses you. You cannot believe that you are forgiven of your past, present, and future sins and still think that there is something for you to do to make that forgiveness complete. If you do, then it becomes your work too, not just Jesus's alone. Is there a place for confession of sins? Yes. If you have just sinned, you can always tell God about it without feeling condemned because you know that you already have forgiveness and that Jesus was condemned in your place. But you don't confess your sins to God in order to be forgiven. You already have total and complete forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. the thoughts. May the Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen. The thoughts for the day: you are forgiven because of the blood of Jesus shed for you. It is his blood alone that cleanses you. Amen.
Oh, somebody needs to hear that in the midst of your situation, in the midst of your storm, it's your faith. Yes, it's your faith that will help see you through. Work your faith, people. Work your faith.
My brothers and sisters, bring your problems to the altar
and
leave your burdens there.
No.
Though you're troubled,
God is able.
God is able.
Whoa.
Just work your faith.
That's all you gotta do. Work your faith. Listen,
friends and neighbors,
doesn't matter
how you falter,
grab a hold of God's
outstretched
hands.
He's a wonder
in my soul.
He never sleeps or slumbers.
Call up any time.
A bunch of
we
that
just praise God right now.
Hallelujah. Because it is prayer time. Thank you, Jesus. It is prayer time here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time that we just come together on with one heart, on one accord, lifting up our intercessions, lifting up our supplications, lifting up our petitions to the Most High God, trusting and believing that he will do exactly what he says he will do. Because we know that the Lord himself has said, if we abide in him and he abides in us, we can ask what we will and it shall be done. So my brothers and sisters, I ask that you bow your hearts right now and you put all your focus on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we go to prayer with Apostle Zeta Flowers. So prepare to touch and agree with the woman of God as we pray. Amen. Apostle Zeta.
Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Praise God. It's good to be in service. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us go to the throne of grace. Let us bow our hearts and heads this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you this morning, first of all, thanking you for who you are. We thank you for how you watch over us, how you keep us in your care. We thank you for the provisions that you make for us each and every day. We thank you for your hand of protection upon us. We thank you, Lord, for our health and our strength, and we thank you for answered prayer this morning. We ask, Lord, that you would remember those that are suffering this morning. We lift them up to you this morning, knowing, Lord, that you will move in a mighty way in their behalf. We lift up those, Lord, that are suffering. We pray for those that are suffering from depression, dysfunction in their families, drug addiction, and all of these things, Lord. Hallelujah. We lift up those that have been harmed. We lift up those children, hallelujah, that are so frightened right now, and they are just don't know what to do. Fear, we come against that spirit of fear that's upon so many right now, families, children, parents, grandparents. We lift up those, Lord, that are mourning over the loss of their children, the loss of others through mass murder. We ask, Lord, that you would move in a supernatural way. In the mighty name of Jesus, have your way, God. In Jesus' name, we know that sin is the cause. We know that it is running rampant across the nation. But we look to you this morning, asking you, Lord, to touch, to move, to heal, to comfort. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we come against racism, idolatry, all of these things that affect the entire nation. We ask, Lord, that you would take care, that you would just take care of those, Lord, that need you so greatly right now. We pray for the unsaved, asking, Lord, that you would draw them.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name.
We
break the curses this morning. Hallelujah. Because we know that that's what it is.
Yes.
But we speak life.
Yes.
We speak love. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We speak, Lord, hallelujah, we just speak life. Hallelujah. All over the nation.
Yes.
We come against these tragedies that can seem like they continue to happen and seem to be getting worse. But we know you, God. We know what you can do. And so this morning we're asking for your help in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would move in our communities.
Yes, Jesus.
Where we all live.
Yes.
We pray your hand of protection upon us, Lord. Pray your hand of protection upon the schools.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for the law enforcement. That
yes,
they will
Jesus.
Do their righteous job in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
that they will be on the scene to do
yes.
the things that they're supposed to do.
Amen.
In Jesus'
yes.
name. Hallelujah. Oh, God. We just come against the crime everywhere. Everywhere. Hallelujah. We pray that you would loose your love. Hallelujah. In greater ways.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Those that know you, that love your people.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Jesus.
We pray that we will all be on our jobs and we will pray more. Hallelujah.
Yes,
do
Lord.
More.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. That we will all find ourselves doing what we know to do and what we can do.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. For the betterment of our communities, our schools.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
in the name
yes,
of Jesus.
Yes,
in Jesus' name. And we pray for help of those, Lord, that feel like this is what they need to do. We pray, Lord, that you will somehow put them in places where they need to be, rehabilitation, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
That you would mind those that have mental issues that are feeling like they're just in hopeless situations and want to hurt others. We pray that you would turn it around in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, that they somehow will feel your love, hallelujah, through those, Lord, that will minister to them, those that will help them in the name of Jesus, that things will begin to change, hallelujah, that there will be provisions for them, that you will provide help for them in the name of Jesus, that they will get what they need in Jesus' name. And
yes,
we just
Lord.
Praise you. We praise you.
Yes, Lord.
We pray, Lord, that you will go into the homes of those that are confined,
yes,
those that
Jesus.
Can't get out. We pray for the churches. Hallelujah, that the churches will be what they're to be. We pray that you will deal with the leaders. Hallelujah, in these churches.
Lord. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah, that you
yes,
will make
sir.
A difference. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. That you will move those out of the churches, Lord, that are not about your business.
All right now.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we pray that you would
Lord.
Move in a mighty way, Lord. In the name
yes,
of
Jesus.
In
yes,
the name
yes,
of Jesus. That your people will be blessed. Hallelujah. That they will know
yes.
about you. That they will be taught about you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That they can have a right relationship with you. And that this
yes,
will come through by
Jesus.
Way of the leaders, Lord. In the name of Jesus,
yes.
hallelujah. Remove those, Lord, that are not doing your will. In
All
Jesus'
right
name,
pray.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
In the name
yes.
of Jesus, in the
yes.
name of Jesus, those that are yet still hurting in the innocent
yes,
in the church.
Lord.
Hallelujah. The children. Hallelujah.
My
those
Lord.
That are helpless.
Touch Jesus.
In Jesus'
Touch
name, we
situation.
Pray that you would move, God.
Yes.
In Jesus'
move,
name, hallelujah. Like only you can. Hallelujah. Oh, God,
yes.
step in. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Work it out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. We know that you're moving. Hallelujah. In the
yes,
name of Jesus.
Are.
In the name of Jesus. Well, we pray, Lord, that you will begin to use, hallelujah, those that you have chosen. Hallelujah. Those of us, Lord, hallelujah, that are in places where we can make a difference. We pray that you would
yes.
lead and guide us. Show us
yes.
what you would have us to do, Lord. Hallelujah. Move us into the places where you want us to be, where we will be more effective.
Yes,
oh,
Lord.
Do it, God. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And we thank you. We praise you. Hallelujah. We praise you. In Jesus' name. We come against all of these tragedies, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
We come against them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus'
name.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
We ask, Lord, that you would
name.
Make things better. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. And we thank you. We thank you today. We thank you for what you have already began to do.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord.
We thank
yes,
you for
Lord.
What you're doing and what you're going to continue to do. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In the lives of those
yes,
that matter.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Thank
we just
you,
praise
Jesus.
You and we just thank,
thank you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We pray that you will begin to deal with the parents that are hurting their children. In Jesus'
Lord,
name. Hallelujah.
Lord,
that you will begin to protect
yes.
these children,
thank
that you will place
yes.
these children where they will be
yes.
loved, hallelujah,
yes.
where they will
yes.
be taught, hallelujah,
yes,
where they
Jesus.
Will, hallelujah, be safe in the name
yes.
of Jesus, in
yes.
Jesus' name, and we thank you. We
thank
you,
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
We thank you.
Thank
hallelujah.
You,
hallelujah. We thank you for it. We thank
yes.
you that we will see a difference. Hallelujah. We're believing
yes.
you. We're trusting
yes.
you. Hallelujah. We know who you are. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we just thank you. We lift up
thank you,
the
Lord.
Service today. We lift up Bishop Shirlene Cook, Apostle Shirlene
yes.
Cook. We lift
yes.
her up today. We ask, Lord, that you would
yes.
continue to bless in this ministry in Jesus' name, even in greater ways, Lord. Hallelujah.
My
that
Lord,
we will
Lord,
continue to go forth.
Lord.
Hallelujah. In
thank
the name
you.
Of Jesus, we will continue to lay hands on the
yes.
sick and see them recover.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And
in
we
Jesus
thank you.
Name.
We thank you
thank
for
you,
what
Lord.
You are doing right now
yes.
in Jesus' holy
yes.
and righteous
yes.
name. If there's
thank
any sick
you,
among
Jesus.
Us right now, we ask, Lord, that you
yes.
would touch.
Lord.
Hallelujah. We know just a hand touch from you is sufficient. So
yes.
we ask that you
Lord.
Would heal
yes.
in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, touch right now, God. Move right
yes.
now. And we thank
yes.
you for it. We thank you in advance for the outcome. In Jesus'
yes,
name,
Lord.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
We pray for our speaker.
Amen.
We pray
amen.
That the anointing will flow.
And glory to God.
Yeah.
It is now time for this morning's message. Now, our speaker of the hour doesn't need an introduction because over the last 11 years, this mighty man of God has been faithful to the Spirit of Life, to God and to the Spirit Alive Network. I'm talking about none other than our very own Bishop Lester Carver. So my brothers and sisters, please get something to write with and to write on and retrieve your Bibles if you have not already done so and prepare to receive a banquet feast from my brother, my friend, and God's Bishop, Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to Papa Cook, and thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. Before I get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning, God. I thank you for this awesome day that you've given us, God. Father, I thank you for your word that you've given us as a light to our feet, God, so that we can confidently trust you and serve you and please you and obey you, God. Father, I thank you for all of the promises that you've given to us, God. I thank you for how you're keeping each and every one of us, God. I thank you for you saving someone today through the word that they hear. And Father, I thank you for you encouraging someone and comforting them and allowing them to be fully empowered to do what you've called them to do without any bounds. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. Well, this morning, the teaching is going to be trusting God as an act of worship toward him and obeying God as an act and expression of love toward him. And this is going to be a challenging subject, because trusting God and obeying God is contrary to our flesh, because our flesh wants to control the situation. Our flesh wants to satisfy its own will and desire and ego, and God wants us to get out of our own way so that we could become blessed, and we could become a blessing toward him, and we could receive blessings from him, and we could distribute blessings to others. So what is exciting about this particular passage is that our relationship with God is literally defined by us trusting him and obeying him, so that we can then manifest his glory and his power in our lives here on earth right now, so that other people who see us can see that God can be trusted, can see that there's a true benefit from being in relationship with God, and to see that there is more to this life than what we see here on this earth in our flesh and blood. And to know that we are living in the spiritual realm and fulfilling our power by manifesting God's presence in the earth through obedience toward him. So a lot of what you hear today isn't necessarily going to be new from the scripture, but I hope that what you hear today, and I hope you heard that, I hope that what you hear today in the spirit is something that is new to you, that it propels you into getting closer to God, into engaging God more deliberately, and into getting comfortable with using the power of God that he's placed within you, because that power is unlimited. He's placed unlimited power within you so that you can believe to perform signs, miracles, and wonders in the earth. I want to share with you an example of when I was a young father. I had two daughters, Jasmine and Kayla, and they were both toddlers. So they were 3 and 5 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. And at that time, we lived in a townhouse. And when we lived in this townhouse, there were stairs that went to the upper level. And I had this thing that I would do with them before we went out on our weekend excursions after a week of work, where I would stand them at the top of the step. They would be at the top step, and I would walk down to the middle of the staircase, and I would put my arms up to them, and I'd say, jump. And one at a time, of course, they would put their arms out, and then they would jump to me, and I would catch them. And God is asking us to have that level of confidence in him that my 3 and 5 year old daughters had in me. One, that I had the ability to catch them from the middle of the staircase, and two, that I was not so evil and wicked that I would dare watch them fall by not catching them and moving out of the way, right? Trusting God as our Heavenly Father, if my daughters could trust me as their earthly father to catch them whenever I said to them, jump, and that's all they did. They saw my hands up. They heard me call to them, and they responded to the call, depending on which one I was calling, because if they both jumped, we would all be in trouble. If they both jumped at the same time, we would be in trouble. But they listened intently to who I was speaking to at the time. Then they put their arms up to acknowledge that they were about to obey, and then they jumped. And then when I caught them, I affirmed that confidence that they can have in their father, that I will not let you fall, that I have the strength to carry you, that I have the goodwill to put you back. And not only what I did for you will I do for you, I'm going to do it for your sister too. And what is powerful about this analogy to me is that God is the same way with us. God needs to see the older saints. Now, my daughter Kayla was the oldest daughter, and my daughter Jasmine was a couple of years behind her. And, of course, I called to the oldest daughter first, and she jumped. And my younger daughter was like, well, goodness, if my older sister could do it, I can too, right? And it didn't matter that one was five and one was three. What mattered was that they saw their father consistently catch them and be true to his word and know that this is something they could rely on, that I would not let them fall. And God is asking us to do the same thing in our relationship with him, because the reality is when I said jump, if they jumped and I moved out of the way, they would have fallen and been very injured and very disappointed, very disgusted, and I would be an awful father. And what God, the reason why God needs us to obey him is because he needs us to affirm that he can be trusted to others. People who see our lives, and we call ourselves Christians, we call ourselves children of God, we say that our God is present everywhere, our God is all-powerful, our God is all-knowing, and yet when we are going through tests and trials and afflictions, they need to see us behaving like our God is all-powerful, our God is always with us, our God is all-knowing, and we trust him. And if we can demonstrate in our Christian lives that we are able to trust God as our Heavenly Father, then unbelievers who have not yet known Christ can be drawn to this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God so that they too can benefit. They too can live a more than abundant life. So I want to start today's message in passage of scripture we're very familiar with. I'd like for you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, and many of you will not even have to turn because you know what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And this is essential. This is fundamental to our Christian walk. Because when we trust God like this as an act of worship, then we are manifesting his power in the earth. And it doesn't say trusting God sometimes with as you see fit. It says trusting God with all of your heart. And then when it says, and lean not on your own understanding, it is literally telling you to reject your understanding. Reject what it looks like. Reject what it feels like. Reject what you think. Reject what everybody else is saying. And just trust God. Because only God knows the past, present, and future. He's the only entity in existence that knows the past, present, and the future. If you don't believe me, check that out in the Word. It's there. In verse 6, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And what that means is that when you acknowledge God's presence in all things and all places in your life, whether you're going through the good, the bad, the great, or the ugly, you know that God is there with you and that his promises follow him and that his rewards are there as well. So that is always a real good place to start when we talk about trusting God as an act of worship, because God needs us to understand what he is asking us to do, which is to reject our own understanding. Don't lean to our own understanding, but look to him, acknowledge his presence in all things, and then look for God to make our paths straight in all situations at all times. Now, the next passage of scripture I'd like for you to turn to, if you can, is located in 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to be reading, I'm going to be reading from verses 7 to 18 and or 7 to 19. And this is from the Berean Study Bible. Now, this is important because there are very real mechanics spiritually to how we use the power of God in our life. There are things that we can do and there are things that we can say to undo the power of God in our life. It's not that you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit within you, but when you are not operating that power according to the scripture, then the results are not going to be consistent with what the Word of God promises. So that's why we're going to look at this very closely today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 19 says, in this way, and I'm reading from the Berean Study Bible, in this way, love has been perfected among us so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. For in this world, we are just like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So
yeah.
What this is saying to us is that we love God because he loved us first. God called us before the foundations of the world to be his children. And then it says that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves punishment or torment. And so we have to understand that now, if we are experiencing fear, it's because we need to develop our love walk toward God. And part of expressing our love toward God is obeying God, and it's also trusting God. And so if God was like I was in the middle of the stairway, calling to his child with his arms wide open and saying, jump, then the response from God's child should be to trust God and jump so that then God can catch him and show that his promises are true, right? God can catch you in any situation. And it is perfect love that drives out fear. Now, this is something that is interesting because then we have to be able to answer the question, well, what is perfect love? What are we talking about here? Where are you going with this? Because we have to understand that perfect love is far beyond anything that we know in our five senses experience. There is in our five senses experience no such thing as perfect love. God has for us something that is so much greater than anything that we have ever seen. Look at what it says. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to be looking at verses 3 to 6 because it's going to tell us how we can acquire this perfected love walk toward God. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6, it says, and hereby we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. So our challenge, our job is to keep the commandments of our Lord and Savior and to understand that when we keep his word, we know that in him is this love of God perfected. In Christ is the love of God perfected. And as we do this, then fear is going to become a thing of the past. Fear is going to become easily rejected because all of a sudden, the things that would be hard to us are not so hard. As a matter of fact, when we stand on the promises of God's word and we obey God's word, the things of God become our new normal. It becomes our norm to expect signs, miracles, and wonders to follow us because we are among those who believe. The devil cannot prevail because he failed 2,000 years ago, when all power in heaven and earth and under the earth was stripped, power on earth and under the earth was stripped from him, and then God handed his power to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He said, look, all power is given to my son, Jesus Christ, and now it's over for you. Now is the beginning of the end for you. And now you have to deal with the power of my son and all of my children being manifested around the entire earth so that people know me and experience me. And people can see that my presence is enough. My power is enough. My knowledge is enough. And see, when we don't trust God, when we don't obey God, what we're saying is God's power isn't enough. God's presence isn't enough. God's knowledge isn't enough. We need to add something to it. And that's why understanding that, standing on God's word, is how we are perfected in love, because we know that that knowledge of God comes from his word. Look at what it says in 1 John 4:12. It says, no one has ever seen God.
That's right.
But if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. See,
in
when
us.
We
yes.
love one another, God remains in us, his love is perfected in us, and so then fear is not something we're subject to anymore. We learn to be positioned to grow and go from grace to grace and faith to faith, and our level of expectation from God is greater than it was before. So maybe God starts moving from the middle of the stairwell to a little lower in the stairwell, to a little lower in the stairwell. And we're learning that, wow, God can catch us no matter where we are. I could be on top of a mountain. God says jump, right? And this is a hard thing. Look at what it says here. And I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 9, because God in his word gives us some amazing promises. He gives us some incredible direction, and he allows us to be confident in all that he does because his word is his word. As a matter of fact, God says he magnified his word above his name, which is a hard thing for us to comprehend, because if God takes something and he exalts his word above his name, only God can magnify something that high above his own name. So it would be as if you took something in your hand and you lifted it above your own head, right? That's what God has done with his word. And we know that God's word is his son, Jesus Christ, in the written form, in the living form, and in the spoken form. It's all about God's son, Jesus Christ, that makes this possible, that makes this available, so that we can be more than conquerors in all things. Look at what it says here in Isaiah 55, 8 to 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we have to understand that whatever God is asking us to do is not for us to question. We are to stand on the promises of God, knowing that it's God's job to provide. It's God's job to deliver. It's God's job to make what we plant fruitful, because only he can. We are not the Messiah, right? But God, through his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, makes all of these things possible when we stand on the promises and the word. Now, remember, when I was calling to my daughters, they would have to know I was speaking to which one at a specific time, and then they would have to reach out their arms and obey and jump out to me, right? Look at what it says in Jeremiah 33:3. God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, this is powerful because God is saying, if you call to me, I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you could never know unless you receive them from me. See, that's where God's knowledge connects with God's power, which connects with his presence. And so many people in the world know that there is a God. So many people think that there is a God, but they wonder why he's not speaking to them, right? And for us who know that God is speaking with us because we've been called by him and we have his promises, we need to stand on these promises and then allow other people to see us trusting God, allow other people to see us obeying God. But when things get hard, when things get challenging, that's where our faith gets tested. And the testing of our faith is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. The testing of our faith is a necessary thing. And when we understand that what God has called us to is so significant that we're not going to be talked out of his promises, then we begin to position ourselves to be ready for the next assignment. Now, we know in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, it says that we glory in tribulation because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope is not, it doesn't make us ashamed, not disappoint us in our expectation, but it allows, it's the love of God that shed abroad in our hearts that allows us to receive more patience, more experience, and more hope in preparation for the next assignment in our life. And that's how it goes. That's how we know that we're growing from grace to grace and faith to faith, and we learn to trust God at the worship toward God because God's getting great glory from that. We learn to obey God as an expression of love toward God because we know that our obedience shows that we're in agreement with God's word. We are saying God is able. And now when we look at what it says in Romans 8:31, where he says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God will always give us things that we are tempted to ask. What makes you think I can do that? why have you called me to do this, right? But it is not for us to question that. It is for us to simply say yes. Yes, and allow Jesus Christ to be our master and Lord. Now, in our Western culture, we don't necessarily fully appreciate what it means to have a king or a lord or anything like that because we live in this democracy. And so when we get to the point where we simply replace that word Lord with master, and we say Jesus Christ is my master, that means what he asks us to do is not optional, it's what we must do, right? And that is something where our understanding is matured, it's developed, it's strengthened, because we understand that it is not optional for us to just pick and choose what we choose to do for God. When we come into agreement with God and his word, we understand that that level of obedience has a blessing attached to it, where we say, if God is for us, who can stand against us and prevail? The devil lost 2,000 years ago. All he can do is try to bluff, just as in the game of poker, where you can fake having a good hand, and you could still win if everybody else believes that your hand is good. But we know that the devil's hand is bad. He lost over 2,000 years ago. That was done and done. So now look at what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 37. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So in all these things, we are more than conquerors in tribulation. We are more than conquerors in distress. We are more than conquerors in persecution. We are more than conquerors in famine. We are more than conquerors in nakedness.
Amen.
In the sword. And so we have to get to this point where we stand in who we are through Christ, in our trust in God, in our obedience toward God, so that then we grow to that level of saying, you know what? I don't believe that there's anything that can prevail against me because of the promises of God.
Amen. Amen.
And that's one of the reasons we call ourselves believers, because we believe.
Believe.
And now look at what it says here. It says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And that level of promise is something that you either believe or you don't believe. And if you don't believe, what happens is you're just disqualifying yourself from the promises of God in your life. But if you believe, if you ask happen in the name of Jesus Christ, I will do it. Look at what it says in verse 21 in the chapter of John 14. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How powerful is that? To know that keeping the commandments of Christ will allow us to be loved of God, be loved of Christ, have Christ manifest himself to us. That is a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what challenges us, and one of the things that happens in our spiritual, biblical understanding, is when we hear commandments, we are torn, because a lot of us think of commandments in the context of Moses and the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses, and we know that we've been delivered from that. And we don't understand the distinction between the Law of Christ and the Law of Moses. Now, the Law of Moses was before Calvary. It was before Pentecost. It was before we had to have the Holy Spirit within us. And so that foreshadowing of what was to come was God creating his people as a nation. And those commandments, those laws that he gave them. And in those laws, he said, look, and he said, this is how you measure how far away from me you are. And based on how far away from me you are, you're to offer these sacrifices and atonement for your sin. And that's what they had to do. But after the last blood sacrifice was given for mankind at Calvary in the form of the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, then there was no more payment to be made for sin. As you heard earlier today in the devotional reading, the payment for sin was done. All sin was paid for at that time. And now you're entering into the Law of Christ. During the Law of Christ, it is a newness of the Spirit that's measured. You are being measured, being evaluated by how close you are to God, not how far away you are from God based on sin. So look at what it says here in verse 6. It says, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead where we were held, that we should serve in newness of Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So now in the newness of the Spirit, we are walking in such a way that we are receiving real-time information from God, real-time power from God, real-time presence and direction from God, so that signs, miracles, and wonders truly follow us in the earth. And that is how our trust in God is expressed as an act of worship toward God. Our obedience to God is expressed as the love for God, because we are allowing his presence to be manifested in the earth through us, right?
Yes,
and there's a reward.
Yes, amen.
1 Chronicles 28:9. And God was talking to Solomon, and he says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off. That was the old covenant. And if God knows all of our imaginations, all of the imaginations of our thoughts, when our thoughts come in agreement with his thoughts, then we're in a new place. We're in a place where God knows that he can use us. God knows that he can count on us. God knows that we are going to do what he has asked him to do, and then, or what he's asked us to do, and that he's going to get great glory from us. Now, when we get in tight spots, we need to call on the scripture. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Things that happen to all of us. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to endure. But will with the temptation of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So when we get in that place where it's a tight space, this is tough, this is uncomfortable, right? We have to be looking for that way of escape. And we have to stay at peace. We can't be running all over the place and getting in our flesh. And this
Come on. Make it plain.
Amen.
When
we should be praising. We'll be moaning when we should be praising. When we should
come
be expecting
now.
The way of escape and deliverance so that God's word can be true and we can testify of God's goodness. Instead, if we don't stand on this promise here, we'll get tempted and talked out of it by the devil. And then we'll start talking about all the things the devil's doing to us and giving him power and authority that he does not have. He does not
have. Come on.
Amen.
Perfect love casts out fear. How perfect love casts out fear is you replace what you think, what you feel, what you believe, what you observe with what the Word of God says, and now you're kicking the devil where he needs to be kicked. You're sending him where he needs to go. He needs to be running away from you. And see, when other people see you prevail in situations that are well orchestrated around you, I'll give you some examples. There's a scripture that says that you will see your enemy come against you one way, but you will see your enemy flee before you seven ways, right? Coordinated plan of attack against you. And because they realize they're not fighting you. They're fighting the power of God and the purpose of God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Bishop.
When they flee before you, they're going to be fleeing before the power of God in you as a result of your obedience in him, as a result of your trust and faith and confidence in God.
Amen.
And when they flee before you and flee before you seven ways, you will see them then. And when you see them, you're going to see God getting a whole lot of glory. And the next time they mess with you, because the devil doesn't quit, we know, with Job, after he failed the first time, the devil came back to God the second time and said, hey, let me touch his body. He'll curse you then, right? And Job didn't fail, right? That's the other thing about fear, is that fear can put you on the devil's radar. That's one of the reasons why we have to be perfected in love, so that we do not be found as one of those who may be destroyed, right? You know that verse that says the devil roameth around looking for whom he may destroy, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't category of whom he may destroy, because those who are in fear are those who may be destroyed. But that's why when we study God's word, we renew our mind with the word of God. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
That position of casting out fear through the perfect love of the word of God within us, the fear goes. And when the devil passes by us, he's like, hey, no, this is not one who may be destroyed. And I'm about to get embarrassed. But you know what,
man?
Even if he does decide, then it's your obedience to God that allows you to stand still and see the power of God in you. Your expectation to be in agreement with what the promises of the word of God say, that you will prevail, that God will make a way of escape, that God is getting the way of your life, and that those who are watching you endure patiently as a good soldier are going to be drawn to God as a result of what you do. See, people say a whole lot of things. And
Jesus. Amen.
A whole lot of things, but when we're given the opportunity to manifest and test and prove God's word in our own life, then we need to see that as an opportunity. We need to see that as
God be the glory.
Is an honor as a child of God to be called to jump from the top of the steps and let him catch us, so that people can see that he is our Father, that his will and plan life is a good plan.
Yeah.
And all we're doing when we obey God, when we trust God, when we say yes for God, we're coming in agreement with God that his plan for our life is good.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I just encourage each and every one of you today to look for those opportunities to trust God. Look for those opportunities to encourage other people and let them know that all they have to do in order to stop being controlled by fear, stop being bound in fear, is to replace what they think with the Word of God. Begin to read and study the Word of God, understanding that you're not in God's Word in the book of Job to tell us about how we are to patiently endure. There's a lot in the book of in the book of Proverbs to instruct us in those practical aspects of life. But when we get to the place where God's word is real to us, the devil becomes a laughingstock because he'll try and he'll fail, and he'll try and he'll fail.
And he'll fail.
And we need to God give us opportunities to see him failing bigger and bigger and bigger. And the devil is a master at failing. The thing we don't want to do is become like him.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Amen Bishop.
Expectation is to prevail. God gets glory when we prevail in our temptations, in our trials, in
Jesus,
our afflictions.
Hallelujah.
Our God is enough. The presence of God is enough, and the knowledge
of
man. I just want to encourage each and every one of you to lift somebody else up and let them know no matter how the devil has managed to beat them down in the past, that their future is not whatever occurred to them in the past. Their future
Amen.
Is based on their submission to the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that he can present them to God Almighty and let them know that at the appointed time, as they humble themselves to God, God will exalt them at the appointed
hallelujah.
Time.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I really thank you for this message about trusting God as an act of worship and obeying God as an expression of love toward God, because I believe it's going to bless somebody this week.
All right.
Amen.
All right. To God
Amen.
Be the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To God, you have indeed heard a word. Hallelujah. And what I heard my brother say, I want you to understand something about us here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. It is our sincere desire that you come to know and to receive everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has to offer you. We want you to have the blessings of Abraham. We want you, hallelujah, to understand what being blessed means by the love of God. We want you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and learn how to work your faith.
Listen,
my brother, my sister, you do not have to try to fix yourself all up. You do not have to wait another moment, another second.
Right.
Because when you are at your lowest, when you are in the middle of your biggest mess, that's when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, can step in and bless you. So what my brother asked you to do today is to take that leap of faith. To take, hallelujah, to jump into Jesus' arms, the one who loves you, who loved you first, and who loves you best. To return to your first love. And if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, hallelujah, I came with good news today, because all you have to do is humble yourself, bow your heart before the Lord, and sincerely confess your sin.
Amen.
And just say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Acknowledge who you are before him at the time. And I confess of my sin. See, what you're doing is saying, Lord Jesus, I release all myself, all my own thinking, all my own reasoning. I release all my own understanding, as my brother said, and I give that over to you.
Yes.
I confess those sins. But I believe that you are the Son of the living God. And all that I am and I ever will be right now, Father God, I am coming to commit myself to thee. Come into my life. Save me. Rescue me. Teach me your ways so that I may be an effective witness for your kingdom.
Yes.
And I pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And if you just prayed that prayer on behalf of myself and every servant leader here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience, we want to welcome you to the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Because the angels
amen.
Are rejoicing in heaven that you have changed your eternal address. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we want you to get into a Christ-centered Bible teaching church where you can learn of the ways of God. We want you to study, as Brother has said, to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that when the enemy runs up on you, you will have your it is written ready because you know what they are. And like my brother said, Brother Bishop said, the enemy will fail. So we
yeah,
just
man,
praise
yeah.
God for the message and for the messenger.
Yeah.
And we just want to thank God for all that we have heard today. And right now I'm going to ask that Minister Gladys come forth and pray for our new converts.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Minister Gladys, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come and we just want to thank you for our new converts. Father, we just
yeah.
pray that you would keep them safe and put them under your pinion and do not allow the enemy to snatch that seed of faith before it has time
Jesus.
To take root and grow.
Jesus.
Lord God, we pray that everyone who calls you Abba Father, everyone that came to you will truly learn of you and truly live for you, not just in form and fashion, Lord, but sincerely, deeply, with commitment and dedication. Lord, we pray that every person that came to you today will allow you to grow them up to be what you would have them to be so that they might be effective in your kingdom. Lord, we just
yes.
pray right now for every person listening in the name of Jesus.
Everyone.
We just pray that you would continue to bless, oh God, as only you can. And Lord, we just
yes.
want to thank you for what you're doing in us, through us, and for us. And Lord, continue
yes.
to use us to be a beacon of
yes,
life
Jesus.
So that you
yes.
might be glorified in heaven, Father God, because
yes,
it's not
yes.
about us. It's all about you.
Right.
All and
about
we pray this
you.
And
amen.
All other things in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. We will now ask
amen.
Mother Mitchell to come with the benediction. If there be nothing else, and
thank
I will
you.
Dismiss you. Amen. Mother Mitchell.
Amen.
Amen. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart fall in thy sight, O Lord. You're our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen. And I have a special announcement today. Tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I am calling on every blood-washed believer, every intercessor, every servant leader who truly believes that prayer changes things
yeah.
to come out and join myself and the servant leaders of Spirit Alive as we lift up prayers for the world. Hallelujah. Because we do believe that prayer changes things. So we are inviting you to come out and join us because we believe that the prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Yes.
So please, we know that tomorrow is Memorial Day, but I believe what better way to memorialize Jesus than to spend time with him in prayer. So if you're available, please come out and join us and lift your voice in prayer with us
yes.
according by
yes.
the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Go, you are dismissed. Go in peace, and may God bless you. Amen. You did a phenomenal job, Bishop Carver. Amen. Thank you for that word. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful week, my family. We love you. God bless you. Amen.
Love you.
Love you.
God bless.
God bless you.
Love you. God bless you.